Learning versus living. Learning versus living. You know, I appreciate the Awana program. And Clubbers, great job. Great job for every verse that you guys were able to memorize. You know, what you were doing, it's been mentioned, you were hiding God's Word in your heart. You've learned God's Word. Now, here's the challenge. As we learn God's Word, whether we memorize it, whether we're reading it in our daily devotions, whether we're hearing it preached from a pulpit, or whether we're hearing it taught in a Sunday school class, or over a radio, the challenge is this. As we learn the Word of God, it cannot stop there. We have to live it as well. Learn it, love it, live it. Why? Because the Word of God will never fail you. For the 3-year-olds and the 2-year-olds that stood up here and said their verse, God is love, to the Cubbies and the Sparks and the Truth in Training, to those of us who have been Christians for 60 or 70 years, the Word of God will never fail us. The Word of God is forever settled. The Bible says the Word of God is quicker and more powerful than any two-edged sword. Why is the Word of God so important? Because I'll tell you, church, nothing else in this world will ground you and give you a foundation like the Word of God. Nothing else in this world will grow you like the Word of God. Nothing else in this world will guide you like the Word of God. Nothing else in this world will guard you like the Word of God. The Word of God is what every single one of us need every step of our lives. So tonight, for a few minutes, if we could, I'd like to look at a group of people in the Bible. A group of people who did it right. And be reminded again how it is that the precious Word of God can become a living part, not just a learned part, but a living part of every one of our lives. Let's look again at the Scriptures. Let's read the first two verses as we get started. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. These noble Bereans, these are the group of people who did it right. The Bible references, and if you read the beginning of the chapter, you'll see that Paul and Silas first ministered here in chapter 17 to the people of Thessalonica. And over this 3-week period or so, the Bible tells us that some did receive the word and did receive the Lord. But many of them resisted, so much so that they drugged some of these Christians out before the magistrates and really had almost this riot about them to the point where Paul and Silas had to be whisked away. And they came next to Berea. And the Bible says a very interesting word, gives a very interesting commendation to these people. They said, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. These were more noble. These did it right. So what was it about these people that in God's estimation made them more noble? What was it about these people that allowed them to take what they had learned and make it a living part of their life? Well, as we look at this one verse, the first thing I see is their readiness. Their readiness. The Bible says that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica and that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Ladies and gentlemen, they had an anticipation. You know, as they met, they had an anticipation. That word readiness gives the idea of an eagerness, a rushing forward. Have you ever been a part of a crowd? You know, I think maybe like a kid's birthday party or something, and you got a clown or a magician. Not clowns. Clowns are scary these days. Maybe you have a magician, and all the kids want to get up close. So what do? They rush and they push and they elbow each other out of the way. They're going to get that front row. I remember a couple weekends ago, I took the kids to I took the teenagers down to Columbus, and we watched an Ohio State spring football game, a practice game, and we had pretty good seats. We weren't too far back, but it wasn't too long before a couple of our young people, I won't mention any names, Luke Sensen, who decided that they wanted to get a little bit closer. They were going to get themselves an autograph. And so they said, do you mind if we go down? Man, they nudged and they worked and they slipped their way through. And before I knew it, I looked up and they were on the front stinking row. Why? Because they had a readiness about them. They were eager. They were looking for something that was important to them. And when I look at the Bereans, this is what I see. They had a readiness, an eagerness, an excitement for the Scriptures. You know, when I come to church, the music can move me. And when I come to church, the fellowship can edify me. And when I come to church, the programs can involve me. When I come to church, sometimes there's food. And the food can fill me. But can I tell you, none of it, none of it, none of it, not the music, not the programs, not the food, not the fellowship, none of it can cut to my soul and engage me at my very core the way the Word of God can. And ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to be moms and dads and young people in a church that does it right, we've got to come looking to hear from God. There's nothing wrong with music. There's nothing wrong with programs. But we've got to keep the main thing, the main thing. The Word of God. They had an anticipation. Why? Because they had developed an appetite. Their soul hungered for the Word of God. They would not settle for anything less. They had an appetite. You know, think of it. That word, that hunger, that appetite, it speaks to us. Because it is a base need that every one of us experience, right? Every one of us experience hunger. But they had an appetite, not for food, for Pringles, for mystery Rice Krispie treats, or for even chocolate-covered Doritos. Man, I wonder what that would taste like. But they had a hunger, a hankering for the Word of God. Job said in chapter 23 and verse 12, Job 23:12, he says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the word of his mouth more than my necessary food." How many of you have laid awake at night hungry and tried to decide whether or not you're going to get up and go get something to eat? This guy right here more times than not. Job said, "You know what? When I lay awake more times than not, I'm not thinking about food. I'm thinking about how hungry I am for the Scripture. How I want to get up and read one more verse. How I want to get up and meditate just 5 more minutes. Give me a little bit more of the Scriptures." And the psalmist wrote in Psalm 119, 103, he wrote, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." And we get it, don't we? We get the hankering for the sweets thing. I tell you what, I talked about that Easter candy last week. Well, it's far thinner than it used to be, but some of it's still there. My wife told me she hid it today at lunch. So I've got a challenge on my hands when I get home. That's all that means, ladies and gentlemen. That's all that means. But I tell you what, last night that bowl of jelly beans was calling me. It was the Starburst jelly beans. And we're sitting in the family room. She's watching something or studying something. She looked pretty occupied. Got it off the shelf, tried to be real quiet. It rattled a little bit. I looked over. She didn't notice. Pop, pop, pop. Just started popping them, man. It was good stuff. I got 2 or 3 handfuls down before she looked over. "You got the jelly beans again?" Happened twice. We get it, right? But the psalmist said, "Sweeter than honey, sweeter than the jelly beans. Boy, this feels good. This satisfies far better than the sweetest thing this world has to offer." They had developed an appetite for the Word of God. And that's the truth about appetites. A lot of them are developed, are they not? And they're developed on purpose. How many of you have little kids, or you remember when your kids were little, or some of you are little kids now, the battle over the vegetables? I mean, for crying out loud, there are 3 peas on the plate. And one of my children, I won't mention who, looks at me and goes, "It's too hard." I'm like, "It's 3 peas. It's too hard." So you fight the battle, and they think it's a compromise. "Well, you feed it to me. You're a grown child. Feed yourself." Why? They don't have an appetite for vegetables. And yet how many of us over the years have found that we have developed an appetite for vegetables? We like them. I mean, I come to work every day, and I drink one of these bad boys for lunch. Yeah, some of you are moaning right now. I see the look on your faces. But I tell you what, when I first started drinking these things, forgive me, preacher, I'm probably going to get a little bit messy. But it's healthy, so it's all right. It's Mrs. Lewis approved and Mrs. Weirich approved. I tell you, when I first started drinking these things, I was like, "Oh, I don't know." And I started drinking, I was like, "Oh, yeah, this is good." But I tell you, over the last couple years, if I don't get it, I tell you something's off. You ask my wife, if I don't get it for lunch, I come home and ask for it for supper. Why? Because my body craves it at this point. I've developed an appetite. And ladies and gentlemen, some of you don't understand this. And I get it. I get it. But some of you honestly don't understand what it means to have an appetite for the Word of God. And I get that too, because the natural man does not discern the things of God. He doesn't want the things of God. But can I tell you, just as I've developed an appetite for that, just as you've developed an appetite for vegetables, can I tell you, if you do it on purpose, you can develop an appetite for the Word of God. If the Spirit of God lives in you, you can develop an appetite for the Word of God to the point where if you lay down at night and you don't have it, you're like, man, something's off. What did I miss? Oh, yeah. The Word of God. Why did this group do it right? Why? Because their readiness. They wanted the Word of God. How else did they get it right? The verse goes on to say that in all readiness they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures. Not only did they have their readiness, but they also had their rigor. The Bible says they searched the Scriptures. It was work. They got down and they dug deep. I want you to see, they analyzed, they investigated, they scrutinized, examined what Paul said. Now think about this, it took time. How many of them had nicely bound Bibles back in Berea? And the answer is zero. What did they have? They had scrolls. Where were the scrolls? At the synagogue. So these people had to get up, get ready, travel to the synagogue every day, roll out these stinking scrolls, and search the Scriptures. Guess what they didn't have either? They didn't have Google. You know, Google, find me the verse on the love of God. And you get like 18 verses, right? Google, what's that verse about the Word and the soul? And Google will give you the verse, right? We got, Brother Starr mentioned that computer program. We got all sorts of resources. Guess what they didn't have? They didn't have none of it. They had their two eyes and their two little hands. And they had a whole lot of work ethic. Searching the Scriptures. They analyzed, because the bottom line was they weren't going to settle for anything less than the truth and what was right according to the Word of God. You know what that means? That means in all their rigor, they had determined that this, the living, God-breathed Word, was going to be their final authority, period. Now think about this. Who was it that preached to them? Who was it that was preaching here in the book of Acts? Paul. Now, if I'm going to take anybody at his word, I mean, come on now. This is the Apostle Paul. You know, so many times beaten and shipwrecked and bitten by the snake and saw the risen Christ. If I'm going to take anybody at their word, don't you think it's probably going to be the Apostle Paul? I mean, if Paul said it, it's probably pretty good. Not even from the Apostle Paul. Boy, they fact-checked him. They said, that's good, Paul. We're going to go see what God says and get back to you. The Word of God was their authority, the Scripture, not the preacher, not their feeling, not their tradition, the way grandma used to do it, not their culture, not their heritage, not their convenience, not even their conscience. The Scripture was the final authority for faith and practice, period. And ladies and gentlemen, it ought to be that way today. I don't watch and listen to what I watch and listen because I like it or because it's what's on. How does it stack up with the truth? You know, I don't have my doctrine because that man has his doctrine. How does it stack up to the truth? Why I come to church, how often I come to church, how I participate in God's work, how I give to God's work, how I raise my children, how I'm a spouse, a husband to my wife, how I'm a parent to my... You know what? It's not because Dr. Phil or Oprah said it's good. It's because God said it's good. This is and was their final authority. How'd they get it right? Because of their rigor. You know what? We have those same admonitions to us today. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 39, he said, search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Get in them. Jesus said, don't even take my word for it. Search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul admonished young Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. This is the Awana theme verse. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How'd they get it right? They were ready. They were eager. They were hungry for God's word. They were rigorous. They researched. They studied God's word. And finally, look at the end of the verse. It says that in that, verse 11, they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things be so. We see their readiness, their rigor, finally tonight as we close, their regularity. Their regularity. You know, being in the Word of God personally every day does something that a weekly church service cannot. Being in the Word of God personally every day, I'm going to put this away because I think it's still grossing some of you out. And I honestly want to come over and drink it. So it's best to get it out of both of our sights, huh? Being in the Word of God every day does something that the radio just cannot. Being in the Word of God every day personally does something that fellowship with other believers cannot. You know, it's kind of like regular eating physically. You know, if I want to be fit physically, I better eat right on a regular basis and exercise, right? If I want to be fit spiritually, hey, I better eat right on a regular basis, learn it, and exercise, live it on a regular basis, daily. Doesn't cut it to do it once a week. Doesn't cut it to eat once a week and run once a month, does it? Got to be regularly. And you think about this, we're in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual battle. How are you going to win a war? How are you going to fight a war? Eating one time a week? Two times a week? How are you going to do it? You know, I mentioned one time in college, I was giving that illustration. And boy, I was all fired up. I was all hot and bothered. I was lathered. I was like, tell me, I dare you. Can you tell me one army that's won a war eating one time a week? And one of the guys hollered out from the crowd, the Vietnamese. I said, true, I guess. Touche. That's not the norm. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to be fit spiritually. We see their aptitude and their regularity. You know, they grew in their understanding. They didn't know something at the beginning of verse 11 that they had come to understand by the end of verse 11. They grew. And that only comes from regular examination of the Scripture. What does the Bible say in Romans 10:17? The Bible says, then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we want to grow in our faith, where do we go? The Word of God. And what comes first, the faith or the Word? The Word grows the faith. So we can't say that I'll start doing it when I grow as a Christian, because that's the exact opposite of how it works. You do it so that you can grow as a Christian. You grow. You think about this. Activity brings ability. Activity brings ability. You think about when you first started doing something. You know, like my children, several of my children are learning to read. And sometimes they get it right. Other times it's not as right. We're working on it. We had a very intense discussion the other day about how you spell road. And one of my children was ready to fight to the death over the fact that it's not spelled R-O-A-D. I was like, son. I mean, one of my children, sorry. You know, but we grow, don't we? Activity brings ability. Just because they come home knowing B says buh doesn't mean I throw the Wall Street Journal in front of them and say I want a full analysis by lunch. Right? We would say that's stupid. But how many Christians get frustrated because they don't understand everything and they struggle to grasp it a lot of times? Ladies and gentlemen, we are growing. We are growing. And just like we can't expect a five-year-old to analyze the Wall Street Journal, none of us are in a position where we're ever on this side of heaven going to have full understanding of anything. But just like a teacher has to have patience with a young person learning, can I tell you? We have to have patience with ourselves as we learn to grow spiritually. But how do you get better at reading in general? You do it. How do you get better at understanding the Word of God? You do it. Have patience. And how about we pray? What did the psalmist say? Psalm 119, I believe verse 108. He said, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Their aptitude. You know what happened because of their regularity? They grew. You know what else happened because of their regularity? They found application. They changed. Look at verse 12. The Bible says, therefore. That word therefore, anytime you see the word therefore in scriptures, it's always good to pause. Because therefore is there for a reason. So whenever you see therefore, you always need to back up. Generally the next verse back or so that you can see what therefore is. Therefore. So, therefore, many of them believed. Why did they believe? Go back to verse 11. Because why? They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Can I tell you, not only did it bring them understanding, but it transformed their life. It turned their world upside down. The things they used to do, they didn't do them anymore. The things they used to think, they didn't think them anymore. The things they used to believe, they didn't believe them anymore. Why? Because the Word of God, the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, the precious truths of Scripture had transformed their heart and life. Can I tell you, when you get in the Word of God on a regular basis and you learn it and then turn and live it, it will turn your world upside down. It will. Even the lost world recognizes that. That was actually the charge that the Thessalonians gave to get Paul kicked out of town. If you look back in verse 6 of chapter 17, as they drug him before the council, as they kind of rioted, they cried saying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come thither also." And that's what the Word of God will do. You know, the word repent literally means what? To turn around, change directions. It's a 180. And I tell you, you do it this direction, it's turned you upside down, has it not? It'll turn upside down the way we live this life, the way we parent, the way we minister. I mean, you name it, and it will radically change your world. And then God will use you. It will work through you to radically change the world of the people God has placed around you. The world can't help but notice. And the bottom line, everybody, is this. That's what I want. I want God, and I want the Scriptures to turn my world upside down. Because when I look at my country, and when I look at what we're doing, and when I look at the state of our families, and when I look at the state of our spirituality, I look at it and I say, God, this isn't working. God, turn it upside down. And God, start it with me. I want God to turn my world upside down. I tell you, Brother Starr preached a phenomenal message Sunday night, and if you missed it, you ought to get the CD. But I want my heart to burn hotter and hotter for the Word of God every day. God, give me just a little bit more. I tell you, that's my life's verse. That's my life's purpose. John chapter 3, John the Baptist said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." God, give me more of you. That you would burn a little bit brighter every day. That God would get so into everything that we do as a church that it would never be the same. You know, it's good to learn. But church, let's do more than learn. Young people, I'm glad you learned all those verses this year. But now the question is, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? Live it. You know, let's love it. And let's live it with all that we are. You know, when the Word of God doesn't make sense to us, that's okay. Let's love it and live it anyways. When it will cost us greatly, again, that's okay. Let's love it and live it anyway. When we have to stand alone, can I tell you, that is also okay. Let's love it and live it anyways. It will ground you. It will guide you. It will grow you. It will guard you. The fact is this: you will never go wrong from 2 to 200. Rich, poor, no matter your background, you can never go wrong. Loving, learning, and living the B-I-B-L-E. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and Lord, we thank you for tonight.